Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 14th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
It's Sunday. I'm good.
It's more like Thursday.
Oh, right. I get those 2 days mixed up sometimes.
Oh, I understand, because, you know, leap week and all that.
Yes, leap week, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, also with us today, Andrew Orr. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing better than I was before.
Sweet. Glad to hear it. All right. We also have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlox. They do the really cool video, audio, and image stock content that's really affordable and really nice. So we'll talk about them in a bit. But I think we should just hop right into the iMac Pro, since it's now available for purchase. So here's the deal. Apple said that the iMac Pro is going to be available for purchase today, the 14th. And this morning, the little buy button showed up on Apple's website for the new computer. So you can actually buy one. If you buy an 8-core or 10-core model, then they'll be delivered on the 27th if you buy it today. And if you buy one of the custom builds for the 8 and 10 core models, it'll take a week or two for it to get to you. So that just seems about right for a brand new product launch. If you want the 14 and 18 core configurations, those are 6 to 8 weeks out. But you can actually place an order for one today. So that's kind of cool. I was expecting that we'd see the 8 and 10 cores and no options for the higher core models.
Until later.
But there you go. So now we know exactly when we'll be getting the different models. So the base model is $5,000. That's the 8-core model with 32 gigs of RAM and a 1 terabyte.
Which we knew.
SSD. I'm sorry?
Which we knew.
And then it just goes up from there. So I spec'd out what it would cost to fully load an 18 core model, and the price for that was $13,348. That does not include tax or AppleCare Plus.
That's cool, bro, because tax is, you know, just a little under $1,000, or, you know, like almost an iPhone 10.
Yeah. but you know, if you're spending that much money on an iMac, you're probably already bracing yourself for the pain of that high tax bill to go along with it. But your go ahead.
No, go ahead and make that point for
Apple Care. It's only $169,
which is
really cheaper than what it costs for an iPhone 10. An iPhone 10 Apple Care is $199.
Yeah, for a machine that could cost 13 times as much.
Yeah.
So that's really weird. So anyway, the upgrade pricing is high, to be sure. The question is, for me, is how that high compares to speccing out the same components elsewhere. And we know that the base model specs out fairly closely to if not more than what Apple is charging for the base model. And that's, of course, you know, without the gorgeous form factor and Apple's extraordinary display.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know how much it's going to cost specced out for a comparable PC at the high end, because I haven't had time to go looking for components yet.
Apple has traditionally way overcharged for upgrades.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me if these upgrades are higher than it would cost to spec them out elsewhere. But it's cool, bro, because it's sealed and you can't do it yourself.
Yeah, so there you go. What I'm wondering is if part of the cost, the higher cost for the RAM and SSD compared to aftermarket, is if Apple is doing something custom with those elements. like if they've designed a custom configuration for holding the RAM chips on the motherboard. And
well, we saw the X-ray, right? John Keat noted that someone with one of the loaner units had X-rayed it, and the RAM chips were just RAM chips in RAM slots.
Seriously? I totally missed seeing that. Well, that totally blows my my assumption that the RAM chips would be soldered in.
Yes, and that's of course assuming that the shipping models are the same as the models that were handed out as these preview units. But that's probably the case.
But that would seem likely, but sure, we don't know for certain until iFixit gets a hold of one and cracks it open.
Right, and what we also didn't see in that X-ray is where the hard drive is. There is a panel under which the SSD is. There's a panel under which it could be, and it could, of course, be an SSD, or it could be soldered in, or it could be a PCI stick.
Okay, so
I'm guessing it's a PCI stick for what that's worth.
That seems reasonable. So based on this X-ray, that means it's possible that even though it would be a royal pain in the butt to do, you might be able to upgrade RAM in one of these.
Yeah, and I mean, and it might void your warranty.
I would assume it would void your warranty.
Yeah, so you know, that's cool. But that kind of complaining aside, what I don't know is exactly how outrageous the upgrade pricing is. The base pricing seems like it's excellent. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, or not surpassing the Joneses, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. But what we don't know is how the upgrade pricing compares. We just know that it's a lot of money.
Yeah, so we'll have to do some math. See what we can find out. Yeah. So based on what we know now about the different configurations and if we take pricing out of the mix, just for the moment. Do you want one of these, Brian?
No, I don't. Should I explain that?
I would love for you to explain that. And then, Andrew, I'm going to ask you the same question, but that's okay. You have the bonus of being able to think through an answer while Brian works through his.
It's expensive. It's a lot of money. It would be a lot of money for me. And that's the biggest reason. I'm also not keen on the lack of easy access to expand storage and RAM. It's just crazy to me. And my current situation is the exact illustration of that, right? I bought the biggest SSD that I could afford with my iMac 5K in late 2015. Mm-hmm. And that was a five. I needed a terabyte, but I got a 512 gig because that's what I could afford. And now that prices have fallen, I would love to be able to go ahead and upgrade to a 1 terabyte today. And if I do that, I'm going to have to pay someone to split open my case. And that is making me tense as can be. And the idea of, and I've also added RAM to my iMac 5K. Mm-hmm. But I was able to do that through an access port, which is, you know, sane. And I don't want to be in that same position with an iMac Pro, especially one that I would be spending so much money on, where in 2 or 3 years, or even a year and a half, as storage prices come down or as RAM prices come down, and I could afford to add more to it, that I wouldn't be able to. I don't want to be locked in that kind of way. I mean, the machine is gorgeous. I mean, that space gray, I love the dark finish to it. The performance is fantastic. I would love to have that performance. But I just cannot imagine doing it.
All right, Andrew, how about you? Is this a computer you would want to buy?
No. So money would probably be the biggest thing for me too. I think I would probably have to sell a kidney to buy it. But it would also be way too much horsepower for me. I just don't do anything that requires that much power. So I got to pass this one up.
Well, what about your photography?
Well, I mostly, shoot with my iPhone. And even if I shoot with my regular camera that I have, I always try to shoot in RAW, which are bigger files. Mm-hmm. But my computer, my MacBook Pro, is more than enough to handle all of that.
All right.
Yep. All right.
I can totally accept that. And for me, the answer is no. I would not buy one of these either. And not because I don't think it's a very powerful and very capable machine, but because I still need to have my workhorse machine portable. So that locks me into the MacBook Pro. And I know that I can get more machine for my money if I buy an iMac, but I can't close the lid on my iMac, throw it in my bag, and run off to a conference or wherever else I need to be where I need this
function. Right. So your thoughts on this are not about the iMac's price or the iMac's performance. It's simply a focus on portability.
Yep. And if I was in a position where I wanted to have a very high powered desktop Mac now, I would absolutely consider the iMac Pro, but I would go with one of the 10 core models instead of the 8 core model, and I would bump up to the higher video card. And I'd bump up the RAM also. So yeah, it ended up being a very expensive machine for me. But if it's the machine that I need for my job, well, there you go.
Yeah, when it comes to things like the video card and RAM, you want to get the best video card that you can possibly afford, because it's going to be useful longer, especially if you're actually doing any performance intensive tasks with it.
Yes.
And that's normally.
But that's why when I bought my MacBook Pro, I maxed it out.
Sure. And normally my advice is always for people who are, not necessarily just rolling in money, has always been to buy the baseline RAM and then upgrade with third party RAM.
And my advice has always been buy as much Mac as you can afford when you need it. But there was also, before now, the option of replacing RAM at some point down the road. So,
yeah,
you might be able to fudge a little bit there and then make up for it later on. But yeah, not anymore. Now it's if you think you need more RAM, then you better come up with the money for it right away, because you can't probably change it later, or at least easily.
Yep. So when do these ship again?
The 10 and 8 core models are going to be delivering on the 27th, starting on the 27th. So next week, or week and a half. Is that right? I can't do the math today.
Week and a half.
Yeah.
And no, it's actually closer to 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, see, that shows you how well I'm doing math today. And then the higher core models will be shipping in about 6 weeks.
Got it.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these things really spec out in real-world use.
Yep. Hey,
we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is VideoBlox. And VideoBlox is a company that has really high-quality stock video, audio, and images at a really, really reasonable price. So you can sign up for one of their services, the video, the audio, or the image content services, for $149 a year, and you get all the content that you need, and it's all royalty free. So this is really great if you have a business where you need to have high quality stock content for your projects, and you don't want to have to worry about licensing, royalties, any of that stuff. It's just taken care of. So you are good to go. And like for me, what I did was I went and started with the video content, because I was really curious how the quality would be. And it turns out it's like really good. So I went searching and found a bunch of drone flyover content of the Colorado Mountains. And I was looking at stuff from the fall, looking at stuff from the winter, and it was really easy to do because I started my search with Colorado Mountains and got gobs and gobs of content. But then I could just click the little filter buttons that narrow things down by category. So I was able to do like fall, and then I did winter, and I was able to find just the stuff I wanted very easily. And it was really, really good content. And so they have over 150,000 videos. They have over 100,000 audio clips. They have over 400,000 images and more content coming online all the time because they have top talent out there taking these photos, mixing this audio, and gathering this video footage so that you've got exactly what you need for your next project. So here's the deal. What they're doing just this month only, just in December, is offering all of our Daily Observations listeners a special deal. So this special offer from VideoBlocks is called the Triple Bundle. So regularly, it's $149 a year, unlimited access to the video, audio, or image services. But just in December, you can get my special Triple Bundle, which is access to the audio, video, and images, all three services, for $149. So that's a full year, $149 for all three services, and it's unlimited downloads. So to get my special Triple Bundle offer, go to videoblocks.com/TDO, and don't wait, because this special offer is only available in December. So that's videoblocks.com/TDO, and you'll get all three services for $149 for a year. Don't wait, because you'll miss out, and then we'll both be sad. So thank you, VideoBlocks, for being our sponsor. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about today is very much not iMac focused. Andrew, you wrote a piece yesterday where you noted that there were there is a database out there on the darknet that's been compiling logins as clear text. And so there's like over a billion. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is kind of scary. I mean, these types of breaches are always scary, but this one is twice as big as the previous biggest breach. This one has 1.4 billion credentials in this database. Wow. It's not encrypted, and this was found on the dark web.
And am I right in assuming that the way this, or understanding that the way this was set up, is that people can add more to this database, so it's always growing?
Yes. So it's not just a simple dumb list. This is a fully interactive database. It lets you add new passwords, credentials, and you can search for credentials really quickly. So the company that discovered this, 4IQ, they did an example search for usernames like admin, administrator, and they got over 200,000 passwords in just a couple seconds.
Oh, man. Okay. Ouch.
Ouch. Yeah.
All right. So this is a conglomeration of usernames and passwords from multiple breaches, all in a single place. And I know there's nothing people can do about this now because it's just out there. But
right.
But there are things that people can do to protect themselves from falling victim to hacks through databases like this. And I bet if I ask real nice, you might have a suggestion or two.
Definitely. So I think at this point, if you're not using a password manager, then you probably shouldn't be on the web. It's a very important tool, and it's easy to use one to create different complex passwords for each account instead of using the same one. The one that I personally use is called 1Password. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good tool.
Yep, I'm a 1Password fan also. I'll add to this, if you are using a date or a password that has... No, let me rephrase that. If you have a login option where you can also use two-factor authentication, you should be doing that as well.
Yes. And most password managers let you store two-factor authentication codes too. So, I mean, you don't have to use multiple apps. You can just keep using the password manager.
Cool. All right. We're kind of out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap us up. So this discovery, this database, what it is for me is a reminder that if you're using the same password on multiple websites, go and change those passwords so they're unique. And that will help avoid the potential that you will end up having one of your accounts hacked because someone used the same or figured you use the same username and password on more than one service. So, all right, we are out of time. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you here. And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely. Assuming that I'm not muted. Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having us, man. That's good stuff.
I love the fact that you weren't really sure if you were talking to anyone.
I wasn't really sure at all.
That was awesome. Also awesome, our sponsor this week is VideoBlocks. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, and you'll be able to take advantage of my special offer, which is being able to get all three of their services, video, audio, and images, for $149 a year, unlimited downloads, and royalty-free. It's an awesome deal. VideoBlocks.com/TDO. Go take advantage of that, please. And listeners, thank you for joining us. See you again tomorrow.